There we go. Mahalos to Els Bells and DJ Shoots for making that transition from, oh, some music to some talk. And here we go. It's about 4:20. Folks, and you know where the buzz is? Right here on your community radio, KKCR.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
Here we go. We're starting it off, Public Radio Community Forum, 826-7771. It's a mixed plate free speech action. I'm going to bring you on up. The phone is ringing. Aloha caller, you are on the air.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, how's it?
How's it going?
Good, good, good. Happy holidays to you, my brother.
Well, happy holidays. Merry Christmas, and I want to see you then. You have a beautiful, happy New Year.
Hey, I hope you see you sooner than later, brother. What would you like to share with us?
No, I saw your post on Facebook, yeah?
Little social media action going on?
There you go, right? So-called joint fact-finding, yeah?
There we go. We have information that will be shared with the public very shortly. Do you want to share what you know in regards to...
Yeah, the comment period has been extended, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So at least give us a little bit more time to make some comments. But I'm hopeful before they at least can show us what was discovered.
Sure.
No, makes sense. We go commenting on something that we don't know what in the world going on.
Yeah, well, and I think the Joint Fact Finding Group, and for listeners that are just joining us, the Joint Fact Finding Group is part of the legislative action that Bill 2491 or Ordinance 960 kind of jump started for the county, an internal look at the issues of pesticides and GMO as well, but it was really focused on pesticides. Am I correct?
Definitely. The county under the jurisdiction of the mayor and under the Department of Agriculture, meaning Scott Enright, they both had put in, those departments had put in a hefty sum, for this.
Right. I think $100,000. Right.
Yes, 50 G's from each. Yeah. So, well, for me, I'm so hopeful that they did discover something, which, well, I talked to Peter Adler maybe a few days ago, and, he never, see nothing yet. He basically told me he never, jumped the gun.
Right, right. And I've been asking if when they get the, if you will, public documents ready, can we have them on the air if we might be able to, whether it's on Felicia's show on Tuesday with the Kauai Soapbox, or if it's on the Thursday that I'm not here with Jonathan Jay, that we could at least get over the airwaves some comment and some interaction before the public testimony, or that period of time for public comment is over, that we could at least engage them on the air for some good back and forth dialogue. The Joint Fact Finding Group was a 9-member group of local people. When I say local people, from Kauai, from backgrounds that were somewhat related with community or somewhat related with agriculture. They could have either a medical or a scientific background or just a business interest, but having some type of relationship with these issues.
And also you got to add in 2 seed companies,
Yes.
Representatives from the 2 seed companies.
And they were trying
also on the board.
Right. They were trying to look at this objectively. And some might argue, well, how could you look at it objectively when you do have members of the seed companies there at the table or helping to kind of drive the agenda of, oh, well, this is fine. This is business as usual. Don't worry. We'll take care.
Well, Jimmy, basically, everything got to be fair, It should be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, other than that, one side can say, oh, no, look. Or the other side might say the same.
Right.
So, may as well get everyone to the table, but there's no, and I'm going to say again, there is no person on the table that is being impacted. So look at it from that perspective. Now.
And that's a great point to keep reminding folks in regard.
I'm very hopeful that at least they're going to come down to the west side of Kauai again. And I say again, because yes, we met up with them. And, you know, the first meeting, I felt like, nah, that was not the meeting that I was expecting.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm hopeful at least before they release this information, maybe they're going to get contact and, you know, come and show off the findings that they will discover.
Right.
But then again, we shall see.
So we shall see. And so what we know so far is that they are going to release their finding. There'll be kind of like an executive summary, and presentations will be made both for the government entities, the Department of Ag and the County of Kauai, and as well for the public. And I think a process that will allow for public comment on their findings. Mm-hmm. And then what? What do we do from there? What do you think?
I don't know. You know, I just like to see what they're going, you know, what they're bringing forth, yeah, mm-hmm. over the table and, you know, see what's going to happen from there. I'm hopeful that recommendations are going to be made, especially like buffer zones. And I say this on the air, okay, that at least one of these companies had somewhat step up and basically move away from Waimea Canyon School. Okay. They moved away at least 1,700 feet. So I give them that at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that company is Syngenta. Okay. You know, I understand that people want, you know, these companies are out of here. We want them gone. But you know what? Be more realistic. If these people can see, and I ask this question out there, if people can see that these companies are going to move within a year, I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening within 2 years.
Right.
Or maybe even three. So, you know, if we basically going to cut the branch, I guess, off, the branch to talk to these companies, to find solutions, then you just like saying, the hell with it. I don't want no part of it. But, you know, as for me, no, I cannot do that. It's been too many years trying to have some dialogue mm-hmm, with mm-hmm. at least one of them. Okay. And all I can honestly see, I was very, very disrespected. Yeah. So, hey, Jimmy, I felt a need to at least, you know, speak to you. It's not only on Felicia's show, yeah. I felt a need to at least give a call in.
Well, I appreciate
it. Other than that, Jimmy, you know, may you have a beautiful evening.
Thank you, my brother.
I got a dig already.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you sharing your mana'o and the work that you do and the inspiration you provide for many. Brother, we'll be in touch. And have a blessed holiday season, a Merry Christmas, and I'll see you before the New Year's.
Hey, I still need that honey now.
we'll get you the good Kapahi strain. It's not contaminated, honey.
Yeah.
That's another
thing
we'll
talk from this side of the island.
we'll talk a little bit more about that too. I've got Fred Dente who will be calling to talk about an event tomorrow up here at Hanalei.
Right.
So, Brother Clayton, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay, man. Hey.
Aloha and God bless.
Have a beautiful one, man. Aloha. Yeah.
Aloha. Right on. So we have phone lines open at 826-7771. I haven't been able to pull up the line I wanted, but we'll go with the next one. Aloha caller, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Fred.
Oh, good timing, Fred. So we were just talking a little bit about the honeybees, and we got the bee buzz going on tomorrow night here in the North Shore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do we got going on? Tell listeners who might not have been paying attention earlier.
Oh, hi, Jimmy. Thanks for having me on.
No worries.
We appreciate it. Tomorrow night would be the last of the Kauai premiere screenings of Ode to the Honeybees. That's spelled O-W-E-D. And it's a music video that I was part of putting together. It's taken 2.5 years to do it. And it's basically a love story. It's a love song and a video paying homage to the bees. And it is an ode. It's also an O-D-E, an ode, another homage to the bees, to the honeybees. And the idea for that is that we wanted to help raise consciousness globally, not just here on Kauai, but globally about, you know, the situation with the honeybees. And there's so many other things going on that are interconnected with all that, but we're just sticking to the honeybees because the honeybees are kind of like a canary in the coal mine. I mean, if they're gone, there goes approximately 1/3 of our food and a lot more than that. But it's, you know, it's really an indicator that the whole system, the whole global environmental systems are falling apart. So we wanted to do it as a love song and showing joy and gratitude for the bees instead of a hard hitting, like, you know, political activist do this and do that, and because there's plenty of that out there, and I don't shy away from that because I've been involved in things like that for many years. But the way we decided to do this was to kind of focus it towards the young people, and with the hopes that young people will educate adults. So anyway, without going too far into that, I just wanted to say that tomorrow night at in Hanalei at the General Store of Hanalei, which is a relatively new venue. It's a fantastic venue. It's a multimedia theater arts complex. It's kind of a small space, but it's really cool. And you could shoot movies in there. You could record albums in there and do performances and et cetera, so many things. And then the other part of the store, it's an actual store. So it's a kind of a two-part deal that I know about anyway. So it's right across the street from Bubba's in Hanalei, just before you get into Qingyang Village. And it shares a common wall with L&L Hawaiian Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, tomorrow night we're gonna show the film several times. It'll be the last time in this kind of a presentation, because Saturday morning I'm gonna put it up on YouTube, and I'm gonna be spending like 2 or 3 days emailing everybody in the known universe to me that with the hopes that this thing can pick up its own steam and go viral, and
mm-hmm.
just, you know, to help people to feel good about it instead of, you know, having one more Donald Trump thing, you know, to look at. This is a thing of beauty. It's a piece of art that we've created, and I'm really proud of it.
Jimmy. So some video work with Joel Guy, North Shore, filmmaker, cameraman extraordinaire.
Joel's fantastic, and he helped us. We had a video shoot up in Kilauea at the Ninaho Community Gardens, thanks to the Porter family. And Joel came, and we shot from up in the sky, some aerial photography from his drone. And we have excellent still photography from Danny Hashimoto. He's an amazing photographer. And then we were able to edit it together with Phil Jones, who's a singer-songwriter and an editor and a filmmaker himself, who's just put out a new song just recently. It just came out on Richard Diamond's website the other day. But anyway, we're really proud of it. It was an experiment. Another thing about this, it really had nothing to do with the honeybees, but it was an experiment in cooperative volunteerism and community spirit.
There you go.
Doing something without the monetary profit motive.
Mm-hmm. For the love,
for the community, for the common good, for
mm-hmm.
the planet, and for the honeybees, of course. So as a result, we had approximately 100 people that were involved in this over the course of those 2.5 years who took part in this for parts part of it, and, you know, a couple of us have been here the whole way, like Elizabeth Diamond is the lady who was our executive producer, and she came to me with the idea. She recruited me as a music producer and a musician and a songwriter and all that, and so Elizabeth and I have been the main, you know, we've been like shepherding this thing all the way through from almost 2.5 years now.
It's been a labor of love, hasn't it?
It's been a labor of love, yes, and we're really, really proud of it. It's just beautiful, isn't it? It's 7 minutes long, approximately. It's a little bit less than 7 minute music video. And one of the things we wanted to do was, like I said, we wanted to focus this towards the young people. And so, our two featured performers are teenage girls, and they, Lexi Warnock and Olivia Geegan, and they go to Island School, and they're best friends, really good friends, and they're really great musicians, and they're really well-rounded young people, and they're just fantastic, fantastic people to work with, young people, and I'm so proud to have established a friendship with them, and to have use their talents in this video to. So it's kind of like, you know, most of us are older that were involved in the making of this, but you know, making that connection, because that's the generation that's going to have to deal with what we're leaving them, what our generation and past generations have left them. And boy, they've got a lot to deal with, but you know, it's the next generation and the one after, when most of the predictions for, you know, environmental problems are going to come about unless things change. So Lexi and Olivia, they're representing a younger generation, and they do it really well. So they're going to be performing tomorrow night at the General Store.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, they're going to be singing and playing instruments. Mm-hmm. And then also we have Jeremy and Amy Brown. Many people on the island probably know Jeremy and Amy. They're just two of the sweetest people you're ever going to meet in your life.
Wonderful, wonderful folks living up here on the North Shore with the Soul Good family,
right.
Music review as well.
Right.
And the good things that they do. So that's tomorrow starting at 6 p.m., right?
Yeah, 6 to 8 at the General Store. And the part that we're going to be in, there's the clothing part and the kind of the retail store, which is the General Store, and then the back part, which is next to the L&L Hawaiian Barbecue, is called the Manifestorium.
There we go. And mahalo's
to
Carlos and his crew of visionaries and community builders up there that are providing space for our community to do good things like this. That's a release for the project called Ode to the Honeybees. It's a video, if you will, a
mixed
art kind of showcase of local talent with a global message.
Yeah, and we did the whole project. We really extended ourselves because we did most of this, you know, out of our back pockets. We got some wonderful donations from people. We're still looking for that to help us because we want to go forward with that. We want to my vision is that I want to see this in all the classrooms, because it's just perfect for young people to see and be inspired and to want to go and educate with your parents. So I want to be able to buy a whole lot of DVDs and make a whole lot of DVDs and make the connections around the country, not just on Kauai and Hawaii, but as far as we can make it reach. The first step is to get it on YouTube and have a whole lot of people watch it and hopefully appreciate it.
There we go.
Yeah, and one thing, Jimmy, if I could, I just wanted to say thank you. The Manifestorium is Carlos, who is a KKCR veteran from a long, long time ago, and he's created this space. He and his partners, I think Dean was involved in it too, I'm not sure. It's called the Manifestorium, a home for creatives, live music, recording school, art classes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just a multimedia bonanza, and it's the Manifestorium is where thoughts become things. So he's allowing us to do this production tomorrow night, and they need help too. The General Store needs some help, needs support to keep going, because they've invested a whole lot in this place. And I think it's like, it's an incredible resource for the community, for people to be able to go up there and perform or do whatever. I have poetry readings. I mean, I've heard of all kinds of different projects that have happened there. So we're going to donate whatever money we can raise. You know, we're going to put out the tip jar and, you know, make a little appeal. Not, I don't want to overburden people with that, but we're going to donate probably a good chunk of that to Carlos and the Manifest store and the general store, because they need help. And so when people come in, you know, be generous, please, and, you know, enjoy the music, enjoy the video, but be thinking about the honeybees, but also be thinking about keeping the Manifestorium and the general store going up there, because I'd hate to see that go by the wayside because of lack of support.
Well, there you go. Nice
plug. Carlos is working his butt off up there every day, you know, just to improve it, and it's, you know, amazing. They've got a great sound system and a great a lighting system, and it's just a nice stage and a beautiful projection screen. We have a great big projection screen, which is going to be really wonderful because we made the film in high definition. We spent, you know, a lot of extra money and time to get this into high definition, because most people watch it on a computer screen or maybe a TV screen. But we wanted to make this with the vision ahead of time that it would be shown on a big screen, you know, hopefully in some places. So hope tomorrow night will be the first really big screen we're going to show it on, and with a killer sound system. And we also want to show it next year in September, I believe. There's going to be 8,000 delegates for the International Union for the Conservation of Nature. It's going to be a big conference, which is coincidentally going to be held in Honolulu at the convention center. And so representatives of 160 nations, 8,000 delegates, almost all of them would be environmental experts and writers and people like that. So those are the people that I really want, the adults that I want to see this thing. So we're going to try to make a presentation there next year. So that's another opportunity to show this thing on a big screen and have it up there in high definition. And, you know, Joel with his GoPro and the drone, he shot in high definition, and Danny's photography is in high def. And we did have to fill in some of the odds and ends with some stock footage, and that's all high definition also. So it's Kauai centric. It was filmed on Kauai, and it's so beautiful. I mean, you're just going to love it when you see it.
Well,
I hope people come tomorrow night and share this time with us. It's going to be we're going to be feeling really good about it, and sending it off into the world.
Nice.
After tomorrow night. Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely continue to talk about the state of the bees, and appreciate that the work that the Honey Bees Project has been focused here for caretaking and being good stewards to Malama, our bees, and the aina that sustains us. So, Fred, mahalo for joining us here on Out of the Box, and hopefully we'll have a good show tomorrow at the General Store in Hanalei from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. or thereabouts. Yeah. There'll be live music by Ain't Misbehavin', and as you said, Jeremy and Amy Brown. You get a chance to see the video over again, as well as take a look around and see what's going on at the Manifestorium there at the Qingyang Village in Hanalei.
Yep, Jimmy, I want to thank you specifically because you were one of our great inspirations in the beginning of this whole thing because of the work that you do at KCC. And, I didn't plan to pat you on the back or anything like that. I mean, you know, this was an interview and all that, but, you know, you just happened to be one of the guys that interviewed that inspired us.
Well,
so for your work, and you've been supportive of this project all along, so we really, really do appreciate it. And
no worries. It takes a village, Fred, and that's for sure. So,
and, can I say one more thing, Jimmy?
This is free speech radio, baby.
Okay. Well, okay. I heard the previous caller, and I really appreciated what you guys were talking about. And you know, I'm not an expert in it by any means, but I've been reading a lot and doing a lot of research because of this project we're working on. So I do know quite a bit about, you know, what's going on in this situation with the honeybees and the pollinators. And you know, there are causes. Pesticides is a big one. The monocropping, you know, and all, you know, we know about, and the varroa mites.
Right.
And there's other things too, taking the monocropping is where they take 150,000 or however many hundreds of thousands of bees and put them on a truck and drive them 1,500 miles to an apple orchard. And then, you know, after the pollination, they put them back on a truck and drive them down to Oregon or something. I mean, it's insane what people do. And what I really believe is I don't believe that. What I do believe is that bees are not being decimated because of varroa mites. I think it's their immune systems which are being weakened by what has been happening to them with these pesticides and all this monocropping and all the rest, to where they then have become susceptible to the varroa mites, whereas a healthy bee might be able to fight off those varroa mites. Now, I don't know. You probably know a lot more than that because you're an expert on bees, but that's just my take on all these different things I've been reading and hearing.
Well, I'm certainly no expert, but I would agree that some of that is pretty factual, Fred.
Mm. Yeah, so we have to just establish a healthy environment for the honeybees, duh.
Thank you.
You know, that's all it is, and for human beings and for other animals. So we got a lot of work to do. So I'm really glad that, Elizabeth and I and Sandy Herndon's another producer, and Rick Cooper was involved in some of this too, and as an associate producer, another KKCR person. And, we're just so proud that we're able to make a positive statement here, joyful statement in gratitude and love, instead of, you know, the complaining and the whining and hitting everything with a hammer. You know,
there you go.
Although there may be a time for that, you know, and there is a time for that, as Pete Seeger sang, you know, and the song Turn, 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 that's a beautiful song, by the way, about all of this stuff. It's all connected. So anyway, it's a real positive thing, and it's a beautiful artistic statement that I'm extremely proud of. And I've been doing stuff for a long, long time, and I always worked alone, you know, because I always felt like, you know, I should have control of everything I'm doing, and I could do it faster than. But, you know, this was a great thing for me, too, because I was able to open it up and share it with 100 people, and it just feels great. And, you know, and I've been a proponent of cooperatives anyway for several years anyway as an alternative to disaster capitalism, to doing, cooperative farming and this and that, different businesses as a whole different economic model. And even though this project really wasn't a money-making project, but it was a project that it required resources and required cooperation and democracy and volunteerism and, you know, a labor of love. So, you know, it wasn't perfect. There was some bugs we needed to work out, but got to start somewhere, and we have to start going in that direction if we're going to save this planet, save our human species and all these bees and all the rest of it. It's all intertwined.
All intertwined.
Yeah, man.
It's true. So, Fred, tomorrow, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Yeah.
At the Qingyang Village at the Manifestorium in the General Store in Hanalei, you'll be seeing the North Shore premiere presentation of Ode to the Honeybees, a music video produced on Kauai by volunteers, a labor of love in recognition of the crucial importance of our pollinators.
Bless you, brother.
Blessings to you.
Bless KKCR for the opportunity to do these things that we do. But KKCR is... it's an amazing tool and entertainment vehicle and all the rest. It's we're so proud of KKCR.
Yeah, I'm blessed to be part of that. Thank you, Fred, for joining us here on Out of the Box.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Aloha. And happy holidays to you. I'm going to have another call here very shortly, bringing you up on the line. Aloha, caller, you are on the air.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you for doing what you do,
and thank you for being patient on the hold there. So I'm in the office by myself in the booth. So be patient if you're calling in. We'll get you on. It's a open show, free format, and you got the time and you've got the mic. It's all you, brother.
Have you guys ever talked about the invasive mangroves on this island?
You know what? A little bit of discussion. I think the. I'm trying to think of the Malama Hula'ia, which is a local community group doing some eradication of those invasives down in the Nawiliwili area.
Yeah, surf riders trying to do some, but that stuff is gnarly. And
it is.
It spreads like crazy. You find those seed pods for that stuff on the beaches all over the island. They wash in everywhere. But my specific concern is the flood control canals in Kapa'a.
Mm.
that were built to prevent flooding in Kapaa, which I understand was a problem back before they were built, you know, because that whole
area drains, catches all that water coming out of Kauai Hau.
Right. Mm-hmm. All that water, you know, the front side of Sleeping Giant, mm-hmm. and that whole area kind of funnels down into Kapaa. And those canals were built to prevent flooding. And those canals are now pretty much completely choked. They're completely choked with mm-hmm. that invasive mangrove. And, mm-hmm. And the county, I talked to the county about it, and they basically said they don't have the money to fight it. They have to completely eradicate it. They can't just cut it out.
Right.
They have to, you know, like, they have to go to every plant and spray each stem with
some type of herbicide. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. And there's nothing being done about that. And that stuff's growing like, you know, 2 or 3 feet a year. And those canals are not working anymore. And if we have a deluge rain here on the island, Kapaa is going to go underwater. But I don't think anybody's going to notice that until it happens. So.
Well, unfortunately, that is the case in so many, and it's so often when there's a problem and it's on the horizon and it's looming, but nobody's really able to do anything until that collision happens or there's that kind of reaction as opposed to being proactive and doing something like you suggest.
Yeah.
Now, who was it that you spoke to, the county offices?
Geez, it's been a while. The invasive species people, you know, they had... What I got basically was they have a tiny budget and they've got some pretty serious stuff to deal with, like meconia and coqui frogs
and fire ants
and that kind of stuff. And the mangrove was not
low on the priority. Right.
The county's not really spending any money on it, but they built those canals for a reason, and they ain't canals anymore.
Right, right. I mean, I do remember a while back of some folks trying to make better use of that resource and open it up for, recreational purposes so people could paddle around back there, link up some of the canals. I guess there's some areas where they are kind of close within proximity of each other, and it wouldn't take much of excavating to connect them so that folks could kind of spend some time paddling around in the, if you will, the backwaters of Kapaa Town.
Well, that's a nice idea. The part that runs behind
Big Save,
the credit union all the way down to Big Save, mm-hmm. that's like there's no open water there anymore.
Right, it's all kind of infilled with that mangrove.
Yeah, that's just 20 feet tall, you know, and there's a lot of other brush that's growing in there as well. But
right.
The mangrove is really the one. And I just wanted to kind of, you know, raise a red flag and say, hey, you know, this is a disaster waiting to happen. And somebody should notice it before, you know, if Kapaa flooded, it would be a big mess.
Well, and I wonder if you know, maybe you like you were speaking with the KIS KISC folks, the Kauai Island Invasive Species Committee, and maybe the civil defense folks should be also kind of included in on that notification that, hey, are you guys aware of the situation? And they're, you know, that quite possibly that they aren't aware of that situation.
No, I don't think people have noticed much because, you know, it's not a real visible area. It's behind everything. There's no roads next to it.
Right.
The people who have houses next to it are aware of it. I've talked to a few of those, but you know it's going to take some a lot of it could be at least cleared for a period of time
right.
with one of those giant mulching mowers that they use on the highways to
right, those big flail mowers.
No, the ones, yeah, the grinders that they you know the rotary ones,
and it just kind of chomps everything down to the stub.
Right. Yeah, because it's not real substantial, you know.
Right, right.
It's, you know, that stuff could go, you know, you could go right through with that stuff. I talked to a guy who had one of those. He said he could clear, you know, big sections of that canal in a day. But the county doesn't want to do it that way because it's not a final solution.
Right, you know? Right. It's just that's just like mowing the grass around the roundabout.
Well, sort of, except the mangrove doesn't grow back. If you cut it low, if you cut it at low tide, those canals are tidal, yeah.
Mm.
You cut it at low tide, and everything you cut is going to die. But you know, there's still going to be some stumps like on the bank and stuff that will come back, but it would set it back, you know, it'd set it back probably 5 to 10 years if you did that.
Right.
You know, it's something that it's, you know, it's something that could be maintained because we're never going to eradicate that stuff from the island.
Not unless we want to do something very, very aggressive in regards to exterminating and removing.
No, you never get rid of it because you just walk down a beach anywhere, especially around river mouths and stuff, and you'll just find the seed pods on the beach everywhere. So, you know, they're way too clever at propagating. They'll always find those plants will always find a way to propagate. That's my opinion. You know, maybe there's some super scientific chemical solution or something to that, but
maybe, and then maybe not.
Yeah, but I think as far as the flood risk, you know, people should take a look at that because there's a lot of property in Kapaa that'd be really messed up if it flooded. And I'm sure the people who have lived here for long enough to have seen some of the super heavy rains have seen a lot of water on the street in Kapaa at times. I sure have.
Yeah.
You know, you bump that up now the way things are now because that stuff's been growing over the last 5 years. It's massively invaded that area. And I don't know. I just think there's a potential for a problem there that could be avoided if you know, the county or somebody put a little bit of money into you know, looking at it and maybe, you know, keeping those canals clear enough so that they'll still function.
There we go. Well, this brings up a segue into another issue that I wanted to discuss on the show today, which is electing our council members by district. Do you think maybe that if we had a council member in that district that we might be able to address that concern with that council member and it might be better addressed, or at least that red flag is kind of taken to another level?
Well, that, I don't know. I'm not a very political person, so the mysteries of when things actually get done in politics are kind of beyond me, but it sounds like a pretty good idea, you know. I thought if I put this out over the air, it might get a few people thinking about it. Maybe somebody who is a little bit closer to the political process could pick the ball up on that and at least take a look at it.
Yeah, no, well, you've raised the kahea. The information has been shared on the airwaves, and maybe there is a listener out there who would like to join in. The phone number is 826-7771. We've got one more hour of our community forum, and I appreciate you joining in and talking story with us and sharing your concern and your mana'o about the invasive mangroves that are problematic around the island, but you're pointing out that in Kapaa they are potentially inhibiting the effectiveness of our canal system back there for flooding and other high water elements or events.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you. Appreciate the call in.
Righto. Have a good show.
You too. Aloha and happy holidays to you, my brother. We've got just a couple minutes before. Well, you know what? We'll do this because I can. Just want to let you know that this Out of the Box show is made possible by the good folks at Kalaheo Chiropractic and Ching Young. These are the folks that make community radio possible, and we appreciate your support.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapaa, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Qingyang Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Qingyang, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
Aloha, this is Mayor Bernard Cavalio, and you are listening to Kauai's one and only community radio station. Listener-supported KKCR, Kauai Community Radio. Aloha.
Aloha. Yes, thank you for supporting Kauai Community Radio. I'm joined in the booth by one of my favorite volunteers at the radio station. He's on Mic 1. We might get a... I heard you on the radio just the other day.
Yeah, Tracy had me on, so this is my...
No, I didn't hear you on that radio. I heard you on Tuesday. Homegrown Garden Island Bluegrass Show.
Always on Tuesdays,
yeah. One of my favorite radio days.
Woo, me too.
Yeah, right after Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, Thursday ranks right up there.
That's for you. I was excited to be up here on North Shore and here. Heard you on the radio.
Thought well, thanks for dropping
visiting.
In.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is kind of fun. And yesterday you did get a chance to talk with Tracy. Maria heard that.
I did.
I
oh,
missed
okay.
that.
Oh.
I saw it on Facebook.
Oh, well, there you go.
And
yeah.
then it was like, oh, shucks, it's 2:00. I wonder what's going on. And I heard Tracy and she'd already started playing some of the Christmas songs and
oh,
other things
go.
Going on her wonderful show Wednesday afternoon. So doing some work on the North Shore?
Yeah, I was doing a little construction.
Yeah, was it raining up here all day?
No, it was really nice. There was a couple sprinkles, but it was pretty nice. It was overcast, so it wasn't too hot, because over there where I was working, if it's sunny, it's hot, because there's no wind.
That's
so.
How.
But, yeah, so anyway, it's nice to hear you on the radio, and nice to hear some of the issues you were talking about.
We got plenty of issues to talk about.
that's
the lie. Season.
No lie there.
Right?
I completely agree with you.
From the that. Local end of it, whether it's voting by council, and I know you're not one to, you know, engage in that electoral process, as some do. But what do you think about that? Voting our council members by district. It is going to be considered by the Charter Review Commission.
I'm glad to hear that.
They are right now looking at, and I will post it on our Facebook page here at the Kauai Community Radio. I think Alan Parkini, if I got his last name correct, he posted something on the KKCR website, or rather I should say on the Facebook page of the Kauai Community Radio. And so there's a link up for the Kauai.gov website. That's the official website of the County of Kauai. And that there is a link on there that will guide folks who want to take a survey that the Charter Review Commission has put out there asking several questions about this question. Should our council be elected by district? And so what are the districts? People want to know, well, how many districts do we have? And so that's a question that needs to be answered.
Yeah, yeah.
I would suggest that we stick with the districts we already have, which are
a good start,
right? The North Shore and East Side is district, I want to say it's district 14, and that's the State House representatives. And then the Central, I want to say that's District 15. I could be wrong. I have to look this one up. But that's the district going from Wailua all the way to Koloa.
Oh, that's a big...
Yeah, it is kind of a big district. And then from that Kalaheo side out to the west side is District 16.
So we have three districts?
We have three districts. So Dee Morikawa is our state representative on the west side.
Okay.
And Jimmy Tokioka is our representative to the central. And this is this House representatives.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for our state legislators. And Derek Kawakami is the representative up here in District 14. So we keep those three districts.
Uh-huh.
This is purely my suggestion. And you know, other people have talked about it as well. There are thoughts. I think 2 years ago, the Charter Review Commission was looking at having 9 districts.
Oh, my.
Like breaking it down for Ahupua'a and the little Moku sections of the Ahupua'a. So we had 9, and that didn't really gain much traction. I think some people weren't too hep to that idea.
It'd be a little overwhelming to jump right in.
Yeah, that's a big change to go from 7 to 9. And then the question was, well, who votes for those? Do you get to vote for everyone, or do you just vote for the person in your district? And so my suggestion is that if we keep it to the same district as the State House, we can alleviate some of those questions about how many districts, and what's the census, and how fair will it be for one district who has more people? Are they going to get more votes than a district that doesn't have as many people? So some of them are logistical stuff that needs to be worked through, but my suggestion is sticking to the three districts. And those seats, those three seats, would be 2-year terms.
I think that would be great. It would be really nice to have each district represented because, you know, it could be real easy to have just Lihue or North Shore on the council and have, like, West Side kind of left out.
Yeah.
Or vice versa or whatever, you know.
Right, likewise.
You know, there's so many different microcosms here on Kauai that... it only seems fair that, you know, the people way up here on North Shore compared to the West Side folks, they should all have a voice.
Yes, and they do, but it would be one that might be better directed or more easily heard by your local representative.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have our three districts and our representatives that are elected to the council for two-year terms, and then those four other seats, we keep the same number of seats on our council, seven. So we have four at large.
Okay.
That would be four-year terms. Four-year terms that might be attractive to the politicians that in place. I think most of the politicians aren't, and I haven't checked in with them lately, but when I did a while back, it seemed like they weren't that supportive of the idea of districting. I know Kipu Kai Kualii, Councilmember Kualii, has made comments that he's in support of that districting. We have districting on Maui. We have districting on Oahu. We have districting on the Big Island.
Oh, okay.
So Kauai is one of the few places that doesn't have districting in the state. Well, if we have those four at large, everybody gets to choose those four.
Mm-hmm.
And that top vote getter would be the chair. Now, if we take it one step further and we look at having a city or county manager.
There we go.
That we eliminate the mayoral position that we currently have, the strong mayor structure for government, which is what we have. And the mayor is the one that selects department heads, the one that selects boards and commissions.
Right.
And the council approves that, but the mayor selects those or chooses those people to serve.
Mm-hmm.
We might see some changes in the way that our local government is administered. So having the mayor be part of the council and the figurehead being the chair, the number one vote getter, whether that would be somebody like Mel Raposo, because he was very popular and got the most votes, we just don't know what it would look like until we actually kind of engage the levers and see, all right, does this increase turnout? Does it get more satisfaction from the electorate? Do taxpayers feel like they're getting bigger or better bang for their buck?
I guess what I would do first is, you know, what's the track record of the system we have now? And, you know, we're in debt. We never have enough money for everything. We're always raising taxes because we don't have enough cash. And there's, you know, the infrastructure is falling apart and all that. So it seems like the structure we have and have had for a long time isn't functioning as well as maybe it could. So it seems like why not try something new?
Why not try? And I just appreciate that the Charter Review Commission is looking at that. The council is looking at the mayoral shift they not too long ago and coming into it. Here we are at the end of 2016. You know, it's coming up very rapidly. We have a couple weeks left, and always around this time of year, you start thinking back. You know, it's time for reflection. We look back on the year 2015 and all the things that happened and look forward to the year 2016. That'll be here before we know it.
Just around the corner.
Right? And with that is an election season.
Oh,
yes. It's happening. More signs. We can talk about that as being wouldn't that be nice to put on the ballot, you know, to reduce the amount of visual litter.
Non-recyclable.
Those plastic signs that are posted up there by the favorite candidates of your choice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I know you've mentioned on your show a number of times.
I have issues.
And that we could make that as a county ordinance that says you're limited to, if you're a county council or an elected official, you have the ability to have signs, but you're going to have to pay for it.
Oh, I see.
And you pay for those signs. It's limited. You can't have any amount. You can have a certain amount.
Oh, interesting.
And that you need to remove those. And if you're not removing them, then you will be fined appropriately.
Mm.
And that will kind of create a little incentive for candidates to remove their signs.
Can we make them out of recyclable products?
Well, certainly we could.
Maybe there'd be
an incentive that the permit to put your signs up is reduced if they're made out of a locally sourced recyclable material.
Ooh,
wow. Right there. You know, we have some solutions. It's true. The solutions are there. They're just waiting to be uncovered. And as I look at 5:10, right, in 40 minutes, the revolution and the evolution will come together.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
And before we go there, though, I want to make sure you know about this because KKCR listens.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
There we go, listening to you, and you are listening to me, Laura Christine, host of the Out of the Box Show with my special celebrity guest, yes, the man known as Yah. Hosts our radio, one of our favorite radio shows, Tuesday afternoon, an advocate for live music.
Yeah.
One night only, every single show. We got to love that. I also want to make sure that we're covering all our bases.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
From the forest to the sea.
go, Ode to the Honeybees, and that will be played tomorrow live, or part of it will be live. The Honeybees Project is going to be premiering their video of Ode to the Honeybee, a music video produced on Kauai by volunteers, a labor of love in recognition of the crucial importance of our pollinators. And that's going to be at the General Store in Hanalei, located across from Bubba's in the Qingyang Village Shopping Center in Hanalei. That'll be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. The purpose of this is to introduce the new project to the community, create a fundraising opportunity for education through distribution to schools and other youth-oriented organizations, and inspire environmental action. There will be live music by Ain't Misbehavin' and Jeremy and Amy Brown. There will be several video screenings and light refreshments. This will be the second and last Kauai screening before the YouTube worldwide release on Saturday. So if you want more information about that, call Fred at 651-2815 or Sandy at 320-3878. That's Fred at 651-2815 or Sandy at 320-3878. I've got a phone call that... Here we go. Caller, you are on the air. You wanted to talk a little bit about mangroves?
Yes, I'm Charlie Brown. And
oh, aloha, Charlie Brown. How are you?
And I did kayak up there. I think I know. I went by the small town coffee towards the mountain and encountered all these mangroves.
Right.
And I liked it.
Yes.
I don't think everything should just be chopped down and made into a shipping canal. Just like being in there and imagining that I can climb into the close canopy and things like that.
Yeah, and hang out in the shade.
Yeah.
Watch the fish and the birds do their thing.
Yeah, and maybe something. Well, I mean, I don't know how much trees will impede the water if there is a flood, unless they break off and choke up the bridges or something. But that should be looked into a bit as an upper limit, but for now, I'm happy with that little bit of swamp.
Yeah, well, and I think maybe the caller was suggesting that an occasional trimming would be a good thing in regards to keeping that that tidal zone or that high water area as a buffer for flooding events or any other type of inundation of those low lying areas.
Okay, thanks for listening.
Yeah, well, thank you for calling in, Charlie Brown, and happy holidays to you, and wish you a Merry Christmas.
Happy holiday, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Aloha. So we are at 5:20 on your community radio station in the middle of the Pacific, to be specific. Thanks for playing with me. The phone lines are open at 826-7771. Brother Ya just stepped out. He's on his way to wherever he was going, so it was nice to see a friend come by and talk story. If you are in the area and you'd like to come by and talk story on the air, you are always welcomed. And it helps if you give us a call at 826-7774, that's the office line, and leave a message and say you'd like to come in and talk story about some issues. You can always contact me via Facebook. That's James Trujillo. And you can leave a message for me, or you can call me on my cell. That's 346-7725. And we can schedule some time for you to come in and share your manawa about a concern, a solution, a great idea, a problem, a challenge, whatever it is that you would like to discuss over the airwaves on our community radio, because that's what we do here on our community radio station and our public affairs programming. We try to get information out there so that you are better informed as well as in a better position to take appropriate action if you are so compelled. I am going to play a little bit of some of the things on my board. I did run a little bit over on that first hour, so I did want to play my second round of underwriters. And our underwriters are people who support our community radio station and our individual shows by purchasing a little bit of space so that we can get the message out there that you are a supporter of community radio. And if you're calling in, I will get to you very shortly. I'm going to play this first to let you know that Out of the Box is made possible by the good folks at Hawaii Life, Tahiti Nui, and at Compassionate Care Kauai.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-Free Kauai
agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama Aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, M.D. of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
There you go. So mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Couldn't do it without you. You, our members, our listeners, and our underwriters, and our wave riders, big mahalos, and much love and aloha to you for supporting your community radio. Another area of support is from our local government. I'm going to play this because it's right there in front of me, and updating you about our council is an important thing.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of December 14th. There will be a council meeting on Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. Also, there will be a special council meeting on Thursday at 8 a.m. Both meetings will be in the council chambers in Lihue. The purpose of the special meeting is to hold a non-public executive session related to the hiring of a county auditor. Here are highlights from the regular meeting agenda on Wednesday. The council will interview Kevin Mintz for the police commission. The county engineer transmits for council consideration a resolution establishing crosswalks and bicycle lanes on Pui Road and a bike lane on Oleana, and this is resolution number 2015-64 and 65. County engineer transmits for council consideration resolution 2015-66, establishing a crosswalk across Rice Street. The director of finance transmits for council consideration a proposal to establish a new article under Chapter 5 of the county code to establish a general excise and use tax surcharge for the county. This is proposed draft bill number 2610. Also, Council Chair Raposo requests the mayor provide a briefing regarding the administration's plans on use of this new tax. This item was received for the record and is under bills for the first reading. The planning director transmits the planning commission's recommendations regarding proposed draft bill number 2601, which amends the county code relating to several issues on additional dwelling units on other than residentially zoned lots. This is also under bills for the first reading. The county clerk transmitted two claims against the county. Under committee reports, the Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Committee received for the record a request from Council Chair Raposo for a briefing on the work performed adjacent to the Kealaheli Makalai Multi-Use Path and Kuna Bay. The Budget and Finance Committee approved bills number 2602 and 2603 relating to funding for the Kauai Police Department KPAL Youth Center Interim KPD Training Facility for $300,000. This item is under bills for the second reading. This committee also approved bill number 2605 related to funds for the Coco Palms Resort Development Use Permit Conditions. That's $110,000, also under bills for the second reading. The Committee of the Whole received for the record a request from Councilmember Chalk requesting agenda time to allow David Mora, State Liaison for the International City-County Management Association, to give a presentation on the overview of the Council Manager System of Government, best practices, costs and benefits, and suggestions on a transition to a Council Manager System for the County of Kauai. There will be a non-public executive session for the Office of the County Attorney to provide the Council with a briefing on a foreclosure action in a civil case. If the council is not finished with this meeting by approximately 1:30 p.m., it will recess for public hearing on bills 2607 and 2608 relating to funding for the Kaloa Poipu intersection improvements. After the public hearing, the council will reconvene to complete any unfinished business. To view meetings or meeting archives, visit www.kauai.gov/webcastmeetings. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
Right on. Thank you, John Gordon and the KKCR News for providing that council update. You'll usually hear the council update a couple of times during the week on Tuesdays Kauai Soapbox Live show with Felicia. That's from 4 to 6 p.m., as well as on the Out of the Box programs every Thursday from 4 to 6. Jimmy Trujillo is your host today. Next week it will be Jonathan Jay, I believe. We will be carrying on with our holiday schedule. We are in the midst of it. And a belated Happy Hanukkah to all of our friends celebrating the Festival of Lights, as well as the beginning of this Christmas season happening. So be careful out there and be kind to your neighbors and be generous to those less fortunate than you. I want to just play this and a couple other things before we keep rolling on. The phone lines are open at 826-7771. If you're feeling generous and you would like to make a donation to Kauai Community Radio, you can visit our website at www.kkcr.org. And there is a donate button right up there at the top end of our website. And feel free to donate as much and as often as you would like, because without your generosity, we're not here for you. And the station that loves you really loves you.
Aloha, this is Walter Becker, and you're listening to KKCR Hanalei and KAQA Kilauea, commercial-free radio on Kauai.
That's right, commercial-free. And well, you might not have heard today, but Amy Goodman was talking about water and democracy, one of those things that both of those things would be very hard to live without.
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. Please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you. Your support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
Getting phone calls. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Yes, Jimmy, Ken Taylor here.
Aloha, Ken. Thank you for calling.
I was driving along and heard you talking about district elections.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a payphone that works, and here I am.
Hey, thanks for pulling over and taking the time to drop a quarter or two into the slot and talk story on the community radio station.
Takes two now, two quarters. Anyway, I've lived under both types of district and at-large activities, mm-hmm. and one of the problems with district elections is that let's start with, if it was seven individual districts,
mm-hmm.
It's a real problem because everybody's trying to get their issues taken care of in their district.
Right.
And so they're having to try to make deals with other council members to say, well, you support me in this, and I'll support you in whatever you want. And so the horse trading goes on,
right.
And it isn't necessarily the best thing for the overall community.
Sure.
The other thing is, as an individual, you only got one vote under seven individual districts.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were to go to districts, I could support three districts and four at large.
I like that idea.
Because that way at least I get to vote for a majority of the council, which would be five. I'd have five votes.
Mm-hmm. Four at large and the one for your district.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so that if it's going to go to districts, that seems like a more logical way to go. But to be really honest, while districting sounds great and sounds like it would be beneficial because of the horse trading, I mean, a district council person only has the one vote, and they have to convince others that whatever they want is going to benefit everybody, and that's not an easy sell.
Right, it's true. So, and I guess that's why having the at-large – like you said, if it's all districting, I think the likelihood or the potential is greater for that horse trading to be commonplace. But if it's a little bit of a hybrid, that we might be able to kind of work with each other and see that, okay, those other four at-large folks agree with your district representative that this would be a good project. Now, let me ask you this, Ken, because I know that you've done some work trying to educate folks on this county manager, and I suggest that we shouldn't look at the proposals in isolation, but that we should look at them in tandem, that if we're going to make a shift, let's make some shifts that can really have some impact. And I think that county manager suggestion is one of those shifts that could have a big impact. What do you think about the county manager system?
Well, I've lived under both scenarios, the mayor form of government like we have here on Kauai, and for 40 years under management style of government. And where I come from on the mainland, not only the county, but the seven cities within the county all had management style of government. And this was small cities from 5,000 to 8,000 people up to the bigger cities of 95,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked good in all cases. I just clarify that statement because my opinion, government at best is not great. And so, but when there's a problem you have with the mayor form of government like we have here on the island, the elected mayor is the CEO of the county, the business, because it's an elected position, the law only allows you to make two requirements. One, how long a time they've lived on the island, and how old they are. And here, I think it's 32 years old or something like that, and lived here at least 2 years. There's no qualifications of running a $180 million corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the management style of government, you're electing the council to set the policy and the direction that they want the hired manager to move forward in.
Right.
And then in that particular case, because you're hiring this individual, you can set very high standards of what quality you want.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, a master's degree in municipal administration,
mm-hmm.
with 8 to 10 years experience in a community of like size or larger. And it's amazing in over the years that I've looked at other communities and what their managers bring to the table in the way of experience and background knowledge and so on. And so it makes it makes more sense now with the budget as big as it is and going to be growing. And how do we become more efficient? And I think that it's certainly the way to go.
But I'll
go back to your earlier comment that if we're going to make the change, let's do it all. And I'd like to go to 4-year term county council and staggered. So you have one year, you have if management style of government became a reality, the mayor would be elected and sit as the chair of the council. So 1 year election, you'd have the mayor and three council people. The 2 years after that, you would have three council people up for reelection, and so you've got them staggered, and it makes for better forums, because now sometimes with seven candidates, there's as many as 22, 24 candidates.
Right.
And a forum has no meaning under those circumstances. There's not enough time in a 2-3 hour program to really get any information out. So
right.
It benefits the incumbent and or somebody that's got a lot of money or is well known in the community, and somebody, there may be others that are better qualified but don't have the local the Ohanas and family behind them to get the vote.
Right. What do you think, Ken, in regards to my suggestion that the district representatives or the district council members, that they serve a 2-year term and that the at-large serve a 4-year term?
I guess there's anything's possible, but I think if he went to a full 4-year term on both of them, and it gives them time. Right now, with two years for a new person being elected to the council, that first year is spent getting up to speed, and the second year trying to get reelected, and that doesn't make a lot of sense. With a 4-year term, you got at least a couple years in between that allow you to try to get some work done.
Yeah. Well, the reason I like it is we can shift. We can, if you will, get rid of that person if they're not performing up to standards by the voters. Easier if it's just 2 years. If we made a mistake at the ballot box, we can correct that easier. As well as I know that some of the council members have expressed a desire to have a 4-year term, but not. They're not so supportive of a districting election scheme. So I think of having a 4-year for the at-large, and those are the people that would hopefully or would be, I guess, a little bit more experienced and a little bit more in tune with what's going on for the whole island.
Uh-huh.
And the top vote-getter does become the chair mayor.
Right.
And that's 2-year terms. We could have a little bit more turnover and also another vehicle in which they can groom leadership at the neighborhood level.
Right.
And I think that one of the things that we haven't talked about but needs to be part of the discussion is the creation of, like, neighborhood boards or neighborhood committees that help those elected officials keep their pulse on what's going on in the community.
Right. And I certainly like that a lot better than the Maui concept, where they have districts. Each candidate represents a district, but the vote is at large.
Everybody votes for.
Yeah. That one. So I'm still trying to scratch my head on what the benefit of that is,
right.
Because I just don't see. I mean, why would if we were going to have a district on the west side, why should I be voting for that district member? I may be more in tune to what's going on the west side than some others, but for the most part, it doesn't make any sense, and I don't think we should even go there.
Yeah, well, I do like, and you're aware that the Charter Review Commission has a survey out, and they're asking questions.
Yeah, I took part in that.
Yeah, I applaud them for doing that, for utilizing technology to our advantage.
Uh-huh.
And I look forward to some of the public meetings that they're going to have. Speaking of public meetings, did you attend Governor Ige's talk story session at KCC the other
night? Yeah, I did.
And your thoughts on that?
Just another dog and pony show.
It happens.
As I said earlier, government at best isn't great.
Well, you know, Ken, isn't that part of the issue? Do we have high expectations for our government because we give them so much of our hard-earned cash? But on the other hand, we should realize that government is kind of limited, and it's one of the most ineffective ways for us to share our capital with.
Well, unfortunately, we elect the people, and then we walk away and forget about it, and it's unfortunate that more people aren't getting involved. And I know it's difficult, and especially here on the island where a lot of people are having to work 2 and 3 jobs and trying to raise a family and all, but there's also a lot of retired people on the island that in my opinion should be more active in government. And I know from my activities and seeing when you get 100 people or more to show up at a meeting, you get a lot better response from the elected officials than you do when there's only a couple of us.
It's true.
And it's they get frightened when there's a big crowd and they change their tune. So I just wish that more people would get involved, and I know it's time consuming and it doesn't seem to make a lot of difference. And over the years, all of my activities, I've seen some minor changes, and for the most part, in good. But if we had 100 people showing up at the council meeting every week, things would be a lot different.
I agree.
And I hope that the council will find the political will to put before the voters. So they're not making a decision. They're just giving the voters the opportunity and to vote on whether they want to stay with the form of government we have today or if they want to try a management form of government. And I hear some chatter that some of them are afraid to make a decision because it's an election year for them and they don't want to, that's terrible. It really is. I mean, they got to have the political will. They've been elected to represent us and, you know, government is by the people, for the people, and we've only asked them to carry out our wishes. And if we can get them to put this on the ballot, that's all we can ask for. And then it's up to the community to step up to the plate and make a decision.
That's true.
And that's for – we started fighting on this issue back in, I don't know, 04, 05, somewhere back there. And so here we are today still going at it.
Still mulling it over.
Yeah, and, it's so easy to find all kinds of excuses why you don't want to do it. And instead of saying, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to do the best we can, and if we make a few mistakes and they'll change, we can change that down the road and upgrade it, but it's not like reinventing or inventing a wheel. The wheel's already been invented. This management style of government's been around since 1908.
Yeah, that's given us time to kind of work out some of the kinks.
Oh yeah, and the ICMA, the International City County Managers Association, is a very strong, very powerful group of that has continuing education for the managers. Requires you have a when you join the organization, you have to sign. That you will follow the oath of office and the ethical plan that they have set forth that's been developed and upgraded a few times over the years. So it requires a lot from an individual that applies for the job. And that brings up another issue, is that if this was to pass and the county was to was having to go out and hire this individual, is that part of the vote would be in the charter changes, there would be a prescription for the quality that you would be looking for in a manager. And my feeling would be to get an outside organization, they sometimes referred to as headhunters,
right,
to go through the original applications, narrow it down to two or three of the best, and then give this to the council for the final decision.
Right.
And that way, you would get the best of the lot of people. And I see in some of these communities around the country and following these activities, sometimes you get as many as 26, 28 people applying for
a $150,000 job.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why people go to school, to get into that career track.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Ken, I've got somebody who wants to chime in, so I'm going to, if you will, wish you well in the upcoming new year and happy holiday season to you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you. Yeah.
Thanks, Ken, for taking the time to work the old phone lines.
All right.
And we will be in touch and hopefully have you, Walter, or Larry or Glenn, somebody else, to talk story about this mayoral county manager issue, and
yeah,
we can keep the discussion flowing on.
Maybe after the first of the year, maybe two or three of us could come down and make a program out of it.
I would look forward to that.
Uh-huh.
All righty then. Ken, thanks so much.
Sounds good.
Right on.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas to you. Got another caller coming in right now. Uh-oh, did I get him? Aloha, caller, you still with me?
I'm still on the phone.
Oh, right on. I didn't hit the wrong button. Appreciate you being patient. And what would you like to share with us on Out of the Box?
Out of the Box, basically, everything like about what Bottom Man was saying, I've been listening a lot on this radio station, and the public, actually, everybody's actually brainwashed by society and everything that's going on by today.
Yeah, but that's true.
I think what everyone needs to do is just start washing their brain instead of continually being brainwashed.
Let's do some cleansing.
I remember as I growing up, you know, born and raised on the island, you know, as a local and by Kanaka by blood only. To be honest with you, everyone was self-sustainable back then. Everyone had a garden in the yard, you know. I mean, everyone's been talking about GMO and all that. Yeah, okay, now, there's beyond worse things than that. Also, there's everything. It takes everything, you know, and people that we elect into the office, they don't keep their promises at all.
Mm.
You know, I'm a young gentleman. I'm 33 years old. I've listened to all since I've been in my time growing up, all the councilmen, even the mayors that we've been having and everything since we have history. No one really keeps their word. You know, the Garden Island is the Garden Island, and we have that reputation because of our beauty on Kauai. And they just want to build more and more and more when there's shopping centers and malls and spots that is up for rent, and yet they still want to build way more. I mean, our island is coming ugly, like how Maui is just being reproduced, and look at Honolulu's railroad station. That's just a sight for sore eye. And it's a lot of money that is coming out of everyone's tax money.
Mm.
Basically, we of Hawaii, we don't need to be paying. I believe we don't need to be paying tax. For one, this is our home. You know what I mean? None of us gave up our Hawaiian heritage for paying any tax to any government that don't even keep their word for our people, which there's a lot of different minorities that they bring into Hawaii, which they tap into the Hawaiian funding, the grants, and then our people is left homeless, no home. We are forced to sell our land. We're driven off our own island, and then other people's coming here and they just want to buy, which is illegal selling. You know, this is all crown land. There's no such thing as ceded land. You know, recently, and about a couple months ago, on the newspaper, the Honolulu Advertiser, in the front page, federal government yield to Native Hawaiians. So what is that? Basically, it's telling you and telling the world, which I kept that paper as a proof of compliance, you know, we won on Mauna Kea, you know, those tractors was getting out of there. That's a side of relief in a way. But basically, there's a lot that is actually going on. They're still tampering with legal water rights. You know, look at the land rights. When the plantations was completed and done, it goes back to the family and the owners, which they sold it underneath the owner's nose in history and in time. And if people know that, then why is nothing being done about it, which everything is still moving in an illegal aspect today?
Here's my response. you know, I've only been here 15 years, but it's something that was apparent early on. And only because of some of the groups that I've worked with, that concept of the fake state. When it's a fake state, then nothing is right. And we'll never get it right until we acknowledge that there was that wrong.
Oh, yeah. Well, as you go into the court system, too, today, you know, as you walk into the court room, they have the Kamehameha Royal Seal. Basically, that is showing the people that they recognize us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, police badges. They even have it, Uomaukea Kaina Kopono, the land that is perpetuated in righteousness. And if that is so, then that means their job is to serve and protect the people, which they're not. Look at it, Honolulu. They had a cop beat a disabled person on the beach and had it on film. And to me, that was wrong. The brother was disabled. Yeah, he might have been a little too close to the seal, but for one, that's discrimination and racism. There's no such thing as a Hawaiian monk seal.
And if folks didn't see this video of Honolulu Police Department officer confronting a gentleman who, you know, looked like he was maybe chanting, he was trying to communicate with the CEO.
Basically what I see is the brother was, you know, he looked disabled, like he wasn't all there, like he was a disabled person.
Right.
You don't approach anyone with a disability that way. That's, to be honest, if you're a cop, an officer, you're taking that oath, serve and protect. You're not taking the oath to just beat the hell out of somebody with a nightstick that is handicapped to be, you know, by right. That is showing the department that they're low class and they're not professional.
Right, right. I mean, you don't
know what
go.
I mean? And
sure.
This is not only in Hawaii. This is going on the whole world. What I'm trying to tell is everybody is wake up. They're pushing a new world order. They call it the NWO, the New World Order. You know what I mean? And basically, you know what I mean? Like, our people and everybody, not just beyond our people. I mean, I believe everybody in this whole world is sick of it. You know what I mean? Things are being pushed too far. Every illegal button they're pushing, I don't see none of these gentlemen in high suits in the courtroom being fined, but yet you get the normal gentleman that probably had to go use a bathroom in a bush or somewhere, and if somebody's seen the brother, you have to go shishi so bad, boom, he's in court. Or some ridiculous thing. You know, maybe the brother had to go, he was driving a 25 miles, and he was going 30, maybe 5 miles above it, and he gets pulled over for it.
Or I mean, more worse.
Tourists, yeah, on the island, they can do a U-turn in front of a police here in Kauai, and then the U-turn in front of them, the illegal U-turn that could have caused a 5-car collision, I don't see those guys getting tickets or pulled over. I mean, there is things that are going on in Kauai that everybody needs to wake up on, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I do, exactly.
Like I said, everyone's brainwashed. People just got to do some homework of their own and start washing their brain.
Thank you. Words of advice from one of our young Kanaka out there who's pushing it. And I appreciate that you called in to push it because, folks, we need to wake up. It's true.
And I don't mean any disrespect or to make anyone hoo-hoo. And it is the holidays. And to be honest with you, there is a lot that is going on that people should be aware about.
True that. My brother, I wish you the best this holiday season. Have a Merry Christmas. Thank you for calling and participating in our community radio station. Look forward to you coming on to the station sometime and talking story.
One day. I'll make my way out there.
There we go. Appreciate it, brother.
All right. Aloha.
Aloha. So we're going to go for a little musical interlude because we can, and it's that time of the year. Here we go. Little Marvin Gaye for you, asking that question. just want to share my appreciation for the callers today calling in, sharing their mana'o, their information about what's going on in their part of the world. Let folks know that there is a free community holiday dinner from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Christmas Day. Members of the community in need of a meal or without family and friends to share the day are invited to attend. This is going to be at the Ainainoho Community Park in Kilauea. Please contact Thomas Daubert at 442-2108 if you'd like more information. This is going to be a free event at the Ainainoho Community Park. That's where the golf course, a miniature golf course in Kilauea is. It's a free dinner for folks. If you're interested in volunteering, they are looking for volunteers. You can give them a call at 828-2118 for more information about volunteering. And the event is presented by Ainainoho Community Park. It's a 16-acre nonprofit campus in Kilauea that features Kauai mini golf and botanical gardens, a cafe and gift store, and access to hiking and mountain biking to the Waikoa Loop Trail. This is a holiday dinner free from 4 to 6 p.m. on Christmas Day. I also want to let you know this Saturday is the Waimea Town Christmas Day Christmas Lights Parade. I just saw this. I want to let folks know if you're interested in coming to check it out. That's starting at 6, going all the way to 11. It's the 20th annual Waimea Lighted Christmas Parade. Beautiful floats will parade downtown in Waimea Town. Arrive early and find your viewing by 4 p.m. There will be community and business organizations offering food booths and items for sale along the parade route. And stay after the parade for a Waimea Christmas party at Hofgaard Park featuring live music and entertainment till 11 p.m. We've got the Evolution coming very shortly. It will be on your community radio. And the season is upon us. I want to wish you all a Happy New Year and Mele Kaliki Maka. I want to play this one because it's one of my favorites. But a Willie K. And wishing you all the best for you, your families. And remember, please, the holidays are hard for some folks. If you see somebody that's in need, somebody out there, don't hesitate to lend a helping hand. Extend a little bit of that aloha to those in less in need and those less fortunate than you. All the volunteers at KKCR, mahalo for what you do, and our professional staffs as well. We've got 365 days of programming information available to you. And the volunteers and professionals appreciate all the good work that you do. Mahalo for your support. And the station that loves you, Kauai Community Radio.